It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Great show open. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
I am so happy today, but I'm looking at Dan, and Dan looks like he has an issue. Soap Wait a second. Box. Is this a soapbox issue? Please share.
It is.
So, what is it?
You know how it is when you set up a meeting with someone, mm-hmm. and you think that you're going to be getting this person as a client. Like, you're going to go there, you're going to offer your services, and they're there to pay for mm-hmm. your services.
And you get all excited.
All
revved up.
You're counting the dollars.
And then what happens?
Maybe even spending the dollars.
Oh.
Like, this is going to be a big deal. I'm going to go there. Cha-ching. They're going to buy. Exactly.
You never do that, Dan.
No.
So what happens next?
You walk in, and they have viewed you the same way. They see you coming in, and it's like, I'm going to be selling my services to him, and he's going to be paying me for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there's this collision that occurs, and you leave, and you say, what just happened? You walk out of there with nothing. They were there to get something from you. You were there to get something mm-hmm. from them. Nobody got anything. Exactly.
I felt the need to do that.
Man, it's
right
the soapbox
there.
Thing. It just happens.
I hear
it's
you.
It's happened so many
I
times over
you,
the
Dan.
Last few months. I'm
annoyed. Feeling your selling pain.
Yes.
I'm empathizing.
Well, we'll have to do a show on that someday, but not today. That's
but
not our show.
I'll tell you, though, it kind of connects to what we're talking about today, because as we go in, whether we're a talent or we're a producer or maybe we're an up-and-coming casting director, quite oftentimes we're thinking about what can someone do for me?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
But the irony is 99.9999999% of the time, the people you're meeting with are thinking, what can she or he do for me?
Exactly. And oftentimes, they view you the same way. You're the old guy. That's what they want in the role. Or you're the heavy set guy. Or mm-hmm. you are the, you know, young person typecasting. Mm-hmm. Big issue in our business, whether
it
you're
is.
On the entertainment side mm-hmm. or even on the broadcasting side.
I think
side.
We're going to get real today. This is the real thing
real.
Now.
It's the realsy.
let's get a little non-PC right now, because we're talking about profiling. We're talking about prototyping,
exactly.
stereotyping, typing, not old-fashioned typewriter typing, but
typecasting.
Right?
That's where you type and broadcast at the same time.
The thing we love and hate. The thing we need and would like to throw out the window.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that, though.
Well, you know what happened to me? I remember when I was working at NBC, I was out of the West Coast Bureau, and I was the guy who did a lot of the breaking news stuff. I called it floods, fires, hurricanes, you know, anything. If it was falling out of the sky or coming out of the ocean or flooding into the streets, called in. You know, what is that company that Save Pro or something?
Save Pro, right?
Are they the ones who come and clean up after a storm?
Oh, I don't know.
It's something pro.
Yeah.
Well, they're not paying for advertising on our show, so we don't have to get their name right. But I felt like I was that version of the reporter who would just do the, and I wanted to cover politics, and I wanted to do Where in the World is Matt, which is a segment they used to do on the Today Show. And I wanted to do Olympic stories.
Right.
And they had certain people who did that, and they had certain people who did something else. Mm-hmm. And I did
Hurricanes,
exactly. Hey, there's a mudslide down in Mexico. Go cover that. You know, and I
you
would
were
go
the Geraldo on the streets.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. If it, you know, I was there with my hair blowing. Well, my hair wasn't blowing. I didn't have long hair.
Have you
hair
ever seen that commercial? I think it's an insurance commercial where they've had the flood and they're standing. Literally, the actors are standing in, like, you know, 5 inches of water in the mm-hmm. kitchen. And she says, she's the insurance agency, and she says, we got you covered. Did you ever see that?
I have not seen that.
Well, you are that woman.
I got people covered. I was covering the story that got, that was what I did. And I was typecasted. You know, I could not break out of that. And that's how I was viewed. And I remembered one time I went to my news managers and I said, I'd love to be able to try to stretch my muscles a little bit in these other directions. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, Dan, we're really happy with what you're doing. And we kind of like that. You know, you're our go-to guy. And I understand why it happens, because there's everyone can't do everything. Mm-hmm. And some people have strengths in certain areas, and you can certainly address when it comes to fitting roles, because in that case, the roles are written for certain things.
Right, right.
But I know that there are times that they rewrite things based on how you present yourself. It's like, wow, maybe we can work this in somehow.
Yeah.
But at least on our side of the industry, it was something that once they got you into it, it was really hard to break out of it. And so I'll talk about later in our show.
And that bothered you? Did that really bother you, Dan?
Oh, it affected. It was huge. It was huge. And I'll talk about later in our show, I'll say how I was able to deal with this and my solution to it. In terms of fixing this, but it was something that I dealt with on a regular basis, and I was constantly fighting it. You know, how can I break out of this? And I'm not complaining. Look, it was a wonderful job, made lots of money, got to see the world covering a lot of these kinds of stories, but some people want to have a more balanced portfolio, and it was very difficult for me to break out of
it. You were like the Fonzie of reporting. You know
wait.
You were like Henry Winkler.
Let's back up a little bit.
Right?
Fonzie?
Yes, because that role.
Yeah, I know.
If anyone is as old as we are,
well,
remember
that's the
Fonzie's
thing.
From
you
Happy
pull that
Days.
From? That's like old school. Like, that's even before old school.
But, you know,
that was like the old school of the old school.
Well, let me tell you, you know that saying, jump the shark?
The Fonzie.
It came from Happy Days. Remember
the
that
Fonzie.
Episode where he jumped the
yeah,
shark?
No, I know.
And then, it was like, oh,
next
just cancel
you know,
the darn
grab
thing.
Leather
it's over
jacket.
Now. But
yeah,
my point
you're gonna
is,
grease your hair back. It's like you're gonna pull out the 8-track. Look what I found today, a cassette player. Let's listen to some cassettes.
You're being a tad literal.
Oh,
today.
Look, there's a disco ball.
Here's
Let's
what I'm
do
saying.
Some disco, Dan.
No, here's my point.
Want a roller
the
skate?
Audience will the audience will understand this. Henry Winkler was a superb actor out of Emerson College. Mm-hmm. He did Shakespeare. He did all sorts of classical contemporary. He did television, film. He was pretty well-rounded as a young actor. He got the role, right? That is the stardom role.
Yes,
that
indeed.
Bought his house in Malibu.
It did.
You know, I don't know if he's in Malibu. I'm just saying that bought his house.
The proverbial house in Malibu.
He could never overcome that role.
Right.
He did get a few roles here and there through the years, but he could never go past Fonzie in greatness, in stature, and in the audience just knowing who he is.
Right. And that's tough. It's a great living. And from the outside, you're sitting there saying, well, I'll take the millions of dollars to be typecasted.
But he was pigeonholed.
Right.
He was pigeonholed.
It's really hard to break out of. Although we've seen some actors who have been able to break out.
Child actors have it tough.
They
do. Child actors have it really tough,
they
right?
They do. And a few have been able to with great success, sort of break
beyond. What's the name of the actor who played Danny on The Partridge Family?
Oh, Bonaducci.
Right?
Yeah,
as we know, he broke out of his role. He was the sort of innocent yet wise-ass kind of kid on Partridge Family who became the sort of, I don't know, adult, angry, violent drinking.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how,
Oh, wait a second. He wasn't acting. That was really him.
That was him. Right, right. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's not easy. And it actually drives people oftentimes into a very, frenzied kind of mindset.
But if you work it well, I mean, I think of Tom Selleck, for example. He was the guy who rode around in the Ferrari. That was a completely different. Now, he's still around all these years later. And it's not the sex symbol. He's not flying around in a Ferrari.
That's
he's
true.
Not in Hawaii.
But
did he lose his
mustache?
No, that's still, the mustache is still there, right? Yeah, mustache is still there.
Right, get it, point taken.
What is it? Don't lose your facial hair?
That was his pigeonhole, the mustache. He made the mustache cool and sexy in the 70s.
Yeah.
When you thought of Tom Selleck, you thought,
It was a mustache.
You didn't think great actor, even though I think he was a great actor.
Yeah.
You thought, what a sexy mustache.
Well, yeah, I didn't think that, but yeah.
But Burt Reynolds was the same, too.
Yeah,
Burt
you're right.
Reynolds
yeah.
was similar in that way, too. And then once they lose the physical, you know,
yeah, you're right. He lost the mustache.
Manifestations that get them where they get, then it's hard for an audience to shift and transition.
Right,
oftentimes.
Right. No, you're
but
right.
But back to your problem.
Yes,
let's
my
get back
problem.
To your soapbox.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
My solution. So I begged. I bothered.
Because you figured you were on a box holding an empty coffee cup.
Exactly.
You might as well beg.
What's there to lose at that point, right? They'll just throw you out to another storm and get covered. No, so what I would do, first of all, I started volunteering for opportunities. Okay, so now you guys aren't going to put me on the campaign trail full time, but if someone who is covering a particular candidate needs a weekend off, mm-hmm. gets hurt, mm-hmm. There's some issue that pops up mm-hmm. around them not being able to be in place, can I at least fill in? So what, and the reason for that is I wanted them to see me in that role. It's one thing to say, can I get a shot at playing a different role, or in this case, you know, reporting on a different kind of story. It's another for them to say, oh, wow, you know, Dan, you know, he is able to do these kinds of stories.
And, brilliant. So you were the go-to guy.
Yeah. So I remember there was a time when Kelly O'Donnell, who's now she still is at NBC News covering Capitol Hill, and she was covering the Dole campaign, and she was standing up in the campaign bus. They slammed the brakes on. She went flying, was injured. And they needed someone to go in then and to fill in for a weekend on some of the
wow.
campaign stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was tapped, and I had a chance to go in. And it wasn't, you know, wasn't sort of the answer then that cured all problems. I still went back to my mm-hmm. my floods, fires, and hurricanes and earthquakes and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it allowed me then for part two of my solution, which was, if I can't do it here, being at NBC, mm-hmm. I'll do it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so my agent then pitched me to CNN to do political coverage, which was something I really wanted to do. And there was an opportunity in the Boston Bureau, which New Hampshire is just up the road. So every 4 years, big politics happening around this region. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to show them, hey, look at some of the stuff that I've done covering campaigns. I didn't do it full time, but I've done those kinds of stories. And so, mm-hmm. you know, number one is that I was able to put myself in a position to get some experience covering those stories, and then use that as a jumping off point to find a job at another
that's
network
brilliant,
that
Dan.
Would allow
that,
me to.
That is the way to leverage.
And that's how I broke it. And now when
right?
people look at my career, they don't really look back at Dan who covered, you know, the floods, fires, and all those kinds of things. Mm. They think of me as the political reporter. So it's kind of interesting.
See, that's brilliant
that
move.
I was able to sort of recast myself
right.
by doing some of these
now
tricks.
I know why I hang out with you.
Because I'm a good recaster.
And the level of brilliance.
Oh, well.
Right there. The only question I have is,
yes.
on your resume, when
does
you were headed to CNN, well, does it say, like, Disaster Dan? And then all the storms you covered, and then I cover physical storms, emotional storms, and psychological storms.
Disaster Dan. That sounds like a great little toy.
Doesn't it?
I want
a PBS
to do that.
Program.
Mattel, anybody out there?
Hi, I'm Disaster Dan.
For $9.99, you can get the Disaster Dan. And but wait, there's more. If you order now, you can get the Disaster Dan cape. With sound effects,
ooh,
yes. And
that.
And we'll also throw in a batch of rain and mud.
So we're making light of this
while
our listeners are probably swearing at us and throwing things
exactly.
at their Macs right now. But seriously, there is a
maybe
or their PC
that's
or
right.
their PC. But you have to be balanced about the situation, because it is a reality in our industry one can't ignore.
Right.
And that is, if you're an actor, for instance, you know, and you stay in the industry and you have longevity in the industry, you're going to start as one thing and you're going to move into other roles.
Right.
It's just the natural course of being. I think one of the biggest complaints women have that I have heard from clients is they get very upset when they go from the single woman's role, who's dating, who's the teenager, who's the college person, who's the young, independent working person, to the married person who's now a mom. That's a tough transition
for
a lot of women to make. And, you know, I'll have people say, but I look too young to be a mom. I'm not really a mom. I don't know how to play a mom. And I'll be like, listen, if they see you as a mom, then just be the best mom you can be. That's your job. Your job as an actor, or if you're a voice talent, is to, you know, take on the role they're giving you and bring the most to it that you can.
Right.
Now, I mean,
and,
right?
And will they, in on the acting side, will, let's say the if a script says that they're looking for X, are you able to do such a crazy performance, and crazy, I mean by crazy good, that they might consider you for that role and shift the role slightly? I mean, I know that I've heard, and maybe I just heard this, well, I made it up, that
then it must be true.
I heard it, or I made it up. That a bunch of people go in, they read for a part, and someone said, "Oh my goodness, you know, you're just so good. There's this other part, and I think we'll take that part and make it work for you." I mean, I guess that's a possibility, and maybe that's just like a one-off. But
of course, it's this isn't an industry of, you know, it's not black and white. It's not it's not fact-based. We're not dealing with a science here. We're dealing with an art form, and so there's a lot of room for interpretation, for creativity, for different viewpoints and perspectives. But the reality is, you know, if you're up for, say, you know, a network TV show, you know, they've done their homework for years on the demographics that are watching that show.
Right.
And they want to represent and cast the demographics that are going to be interested in that show. Right. So if it's a reality show and it's going to cover, you know, 18 to 30 years old, we're most likely going to look to cast people within that range.
Right. So if you're 80, it's just not
going to connect to it.
If
they're going to relate to it. They're going to empathize. And for those of you who don't know,
you missed my joke.
I caught it. I just politely ignored it.
She swatted me like a mangy fly who was coming by. I just got swatted. I hit the screen door so hard, my head's ringing. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to make the point that, for instance, if you're an agency, if you're a big agency and you're getting in your office, you know, breakdowns, what we call breakdowns, that's going to show the agent and the casting director as well the kind of role that they need to be submitting for. So, for instance, you know, it could be something as specific as, you know, woman, 35 to 45 years old, Caucasian, you know, warm, friendly, stay-at-home mom, someone who has one child, and it goes on. It can be that specific. So the profile could be generic, but it also could be very, very specific.
Right.
And in big roles, it tends to get specific. And they don't want to see anyone outside of that.
So you just have to figure out what your lane is and then be the best at driving in that lane. And who knows? Every so often, you might kind of bleed over into another lane, as people do when they're texting on the highway.
But Brendan does that all the time. So Brendan, he barely lifts his eyes up from his cell phone.
Oh Lord, those are the people.
I get 72 messages.
Oh my goodness! See, that's all going to be part of one of my soapbox issues.
And because tell that to the person actually, hanging from the tree that you just hit.
Exactly, and I'll tell you about how I recently almost ran over someone when they were walking and texting. But that's for another show. But you're right. I mean, I guess it's understanding what your lane is. And really honing that, and as you transition, whether it's from a child to a, you know, a teen to a, you know, a working adult to, you know, a senior or more mature kind of actor, you can kind of retool your performance in order to get those roles.
Right. And I think when you're young and you're training, you're in school, you know, you're doing theater, if you're doing plays, oftentimes we are, you know, cast as anything. You know, you could be in elementary school or college, and you're being cast as an old grandmother or witch.
I mean, I was Cinderella one time.
Right. You were a tree, actually, weren't you a tree?
Actually, I was the chancellor in The Ugly Duckling. Oh. I won Best Supporting Actor in that.
Okay.
Yeah, never, Your Majesty, was there greater need for thought than now. That was one of my roles back in ninth grade, I think it was.
Was that on the resume for CNN?
That's what got me the job because the other person had been the king in that and when they were in high school. And so we did the performance right there. And it's like, oh, man, high five. No, this is all made up, ladies and gentlemen. That's all made up. No, well, it's not made up that I really was the ugly duckling.
I know, anymore. I know. Yeah, right,
that
I
part
know.
Is true. But the CNN it's all and conceivable. The acting it, and all that,
exactly.
That's made up. Yeah.
So the point is, though, when you make the jump and you go from school or you go from your training program into the real world and in the industry, you are seen in a whole different light.
Yeah.
And that is a very difficult transition for people to make. And that's why you need a coach, you need a manager, you need people to help you be objective about who you are, what you look like, what you sound like, and what your personality is like, and where the best fit is for you. Not only where your talent lies or what kinds of roles you've played in the past, but how you're going to be viewed right now.
Right. I mean, the one thing that is at the heart of whether you're in the news business or on the entertainment side is that you have to be very strategic in your thinking. And don't think that, okay, I'm an actor and I'm just going to try out for stuff, or I'm a broadcaster, I'm going to do whatever. If somebody gives me a job, I'm going to take that job. But think about ways that you can sort of build for the future, right? And for me, I could have continued moving right along and it was fine, you know? But if you're thinking about down the road, you can start strategically, go, how can I get to that point? As I get older, as I get more mature, as I get more more skills, as I develop new skills, how can I then pivot into other roles or other positions in order to sort of align with those new skills?
Right.
And that's
that
the,
is
that's
so
a piece
important,
of wisdom,
Dan.
You know?
That's a mouthful, but I'm glad you said it, because better you than me. But it's so true, because you have to be honest, as
right.
honest, as brutally honest as you can be with yourself. I mean, if you're a certain age, and, you know, for many people, I find this in the industry for performers, they have a tough time aging. People have a tough time aging, but it's, I think, 10 times as hard for actors in the industry, because your attention is called to it at
right.
all times.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be brutally honest, and your team that works with you has to be honest about, you know, what you look like, what your age range is, what the quality of your voice is, what your maturity level is, before you go out for that job or that role. Because you don't want to make a bad impression. You want to make an impression where people you're auditioning for say, that actor understands their brand. They know who they are.
Right.
They make my job easier. This goes back to your beginning story, Dan, about you going in and saying, you know, what are you going to do for me? And they're
right.
thinking, what are you going to do for me?
Yeah, my little
right?
pet peeve soapbox.
But it's always like that.
Right.
It's never not like that.
So if you are locked inside a soapbox, so if you're in a box, and that's the way that you're viewed, you're a broadcaster and you're locked in a box, look for ways to sort of chip away at the walls of those boxes in order to move into a different box or several different boxes. And then if you're on the entertainment side, maybe it's just about figuring out, okay, what's the best job that I can do within the confines of this box? Because this is the box that they like right now.
Mm-hmm.
But start building that other box.
Mm-hmm.
When you are able to grow into that box.
And just because we say boxes doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
Right.
It's a structure.
Right.
And we all have to fit in within a structure, but there's tremendous amounts of creativity that can happen once you fit the box. Then you can sort of break the mold.
Wow, that was so good. That's the ending right there.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?